Okay, I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to order. It is Tuesday, February 10th. The time now is 3:30 p.m. Present today, Vice Chair Senator Bjorkman, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Tilton, myself, Chair Kawasaki. We are expecting Senator Wilikowski to be here on his way. I'd like to thank Carrie Tapoa from Senate Records and Zach Lawhorn from the Legislative Information Office. Today's agenda, we have two items on today's agenda. We had originally planned to discuss with the Department of Corrections a couple issues relating to deaths in jails. We are going to have to table that issue until a later time due to the fact that they're currently in ongoing litigation. That's nothing that there's something that just probably shouldn't be discussed in public. But we do want to make sure that they do have an opportunity to come forward at maybe a future time, along with one of the attorneys from law, maybe at some point, to address some of these issues that they are able to do on record. We're going to go ahead and hear first. Then we have the second hearing on Senate Bill 126, Correctional Facilities Placement. It is sponsored by Senator Rob Yunt. We have a second hearing on Senate Bill 71, Pretrial Services Supervisions Agreements. It is rules at the request of the governor. I'd like to welcome Senator Rob Yunt and staff to Senator Ryan McKee to come up and present the bill we heard last year at this time. So,
for the record, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for having us today. So for the record, my name is Rob Yunt. I'm the senator for the Wasilla area from Meadow Lakes to the North Lakes and Colony area. So. SB 126 directs the Department of Corrections to look at two cost-cutting measures. First is consolidation and any savings that could create. The second would add a section to the powers given to the commissioner to give them the ability to look at out-of-state options for housing inmates who have 7 years or more remaining on their sentence, should the cost of doing this be cheaper than remaining in state. Either or both cost-cutting measures could add up to a large sum of money or potential savings to help fund education in Alaska. I look to the will of this committee to help me shape this legislation in a way that is both compassionate and fiscally responsible. And I'll add a little bit more. This is, oftentimes we get to run legislation that we're excited about, and there is none of that here. This is a very delicate situation, and I look forward to all of your great questions today and everything that we can do as a group to do this as compassionately and responsibly as possible. So with that, this is my chief of staff, Ryan McKee, and he will be helping with today's committee here.
For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Senator Yunt. I will briefly go over the sectional since it's been a little while since we last brought this up. So Section 1, AS 3330061, adds a new subsection to Section 1. Section E would grant the commissioner the ability to investigate cost reductions by either consolidating existing facilities or designating placement of a prisoner at an out-of-state facility. Section F clarifies that any prisoner that is sent out-of-state shall be housed exclusively apart from prisoners who are not residents of the state, as that was brought up as a concern when it happened last time, so we want to make sure that doesn't happen again. Section G requires that the state estimate the cost savings annually resulting from actions taken under Section E of this section. It also allows the legislature to appropriate an amount equal to the annual cost savings estimate for education purposes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKee. Are there questions of the sponsor of the bill or his staff?
I have a question.
Okay, Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you very much, Chair Kawasaki. Previous consolidations within the Department of Corrections have been discussed within the past 10 years. Considering this legislation, which facilities are you hoping to close?
Through the chair, that's a fantastic question, and honestly, I don't think that's any of my business. I trust the leaders of the Department of Corrections and the state to our governor or potential incoming governor, or at least at the very least, all of the Senate and legislature to help with that decision. I wouldn't feel right trying to make that on my own.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. I think that's a good answer, seeing as how we each represent very specific districts. And as Senator Bjorkman knows, we have had this discussion in a recent year about potentially shutting down one in the district that in the peninsula area. And I know that there was lots of justifications for maybe potentially closing that facility as opposed to other facilities. There's different facilities that are not in the best condition, for instance. I don't know the best way to do that, but I certainly could see the value in having something that somebody can do, not and be less political maybe than having legislators discuss what they don't want. I'm just familiarized with the old base realignment closure back in the 90s when they had commissions that were established that were not they evaluated sort of what areas were the best to close. And I'm glad that they didn't get rid of Eielson, because Eielson, of course, is now one of the biggest F-35 stations. It took a lot of groundwork, a lot of folks saying why that was justified. And we had Mark Hamilton from the University of Alaska come and speak. And of course his two stars carried a lot of weight with that. But I think that there definitely should be something if there is consolidation. I mean, we got schools being consolidated right now. We got schools closing down. We have a $202 per inmate per year charge is
per,
what that's
per
cost.
Day.
Per day. $202. Just think about that. $200 a day. When you take the entire budget and then levelize it over the number of inmates. Thank you for bringing this forward, Senator Yunt. I do have a question. If you do know the answer, if you can give me sort of close to answers, do you know how many inmates are currently at that 7-year mark? Why was it discussed at a 7-year mark versus something else?
Yes, sir, and to the chair. The day that we pulled the information, there were 792. I cannot say exactly what that is today. you know, it. The legislature will have to help finish shaping this bill, but I would want to see our inmates brought home when they get down to 2 years or less remaining. And so how do you do it in a manner that is, A, fiscally responsible, and, B, compassion, and it gets them back here for training. We do have in job placement and the other things before they reenter society. And so that was kind of a sweet spot where there was a lot of individuals still. Many were serving life or close to life sentences. So that just kind of seemed like a number that would help balance the budget and help with consolidation. Right now, consolidation, unfortunately, is not necessarily an option because we're at capacity. And so and even the facilities that maybe have a few open beds can't necessarily bring someone into them, unfortunately, because maybe they're a different sex or because of different type of crime levels. And so, it's a tough conversation. And I will reiterate what I said earlier. I don't think that it would be right for me to try to choose which facility would be in that position. I think we hire executives for a reason, and we'd want to leave it to them.
Thank you, Senator Yunt. I'd like to welcome Senator Wilikowski. We are on Senate Bill 126. Are there any questions further from committee before we open up testimony? All right, hearing and seeing none, we're going to go ahead and open public testimony. If you could try to limit your public testimony to 3 minutes, but we recognize you might have more comments to make. We will first go to Anchorage, where we have Mr. Mike Garvey, Policy Director for the ACLU. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record. Welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Chair Kawasaki and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mike Garvey, and I am Policy Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska. We appreciate the opportunity to offer our views on Senate Bill 126 and the issue of sending prisoners out of state. We acknowledge that Senate Bill 126 does not require the transfer of any currently incarcerated Alaskans to prisons outside, and is presented as a discussion. However, we have concerns about enshrining the bill's concepts in statute, given that no other potential avenues for reducing costs are mentioned, and that moving prisoners out of state jeopardizes the constitutional rights of prisoners in Alaska, as well as presents public safety concerns. Alaska's constitution guarantees prisoners the right to rehabilitation, to due process, the right to counsel, and the right to adequate medical care. But out-of-state incarceration harms Alaskan families and communities by severing essential family ties, especially between parents and children, relationships that are critical for reducing recidivism and preventing intergenerational incarceration. Travel to the lower 48 is logistically and financially challenging, and sending people to prisons outside is likely to force families into impossible choices, like whether or not they will move outside as well. Additionally, when people are incarcerated thousands of miles away, it would be immensely challenging for the state ombudsman, courts, prisoners' lawyers, and the Department of Corrections to maintain visibility and ensure their rights are being upheld. Finally, before the state last relied on lower 48 prisons, many Alaskans convicted of crimes had little exposure to gang culture. But incarceration outside forced them to join or form gangs to protect themselves from harm, and when these prisoners returned to Alaska, gang culture came back with them. These concerns sit alongside the significant logistical and hidden costs raised by the Department of Corrections in its fiscal analysis. If Alaska wants to reduce costs associated with incarceration, one way would be to better utilize the state's special medical and geriatric parole systems. These systems are designed to allow qualified prisoners with severe disabilities or who are older than 60 to be granted parole provided they won't pose a threat of harm to the public. As the department has noted, healthcare costs are one of DOC's primary budget drivers, and older and medically complex people generally have higher healthcare expenses. But the state almost never grants parole of this type, much less holds hearings. We would be happy to discuss this idea further and appreciate the opportunity to share our concerns about this bill today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Garvey. I see in section one of the bill it specifically discusses just two ways to reduce costs housing prisoners. And maybe if you do have a suggestion on other ways that we could put into statute that might make sense, that would be great. You're welcome to forward any comments on that issue directly to the State Affairs Committee at senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. And that goes for anyone who's online or would like to testify on Senate Bill 126. That address, again, is senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. We'll go ahead next. If there's no questions, we're going to go ahead next to Adam Barger. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record.
Hello, Senator and Senate members of the State Affairs Committee. Thank you very much for your time. My name is Adam Barger, and I am representing myself. I'm calling from Casa Grande, Arizona, but I was a formerly incarcerated prisoner in the state of Alaska from 1994 to 2019. When I was released on supervision via Interstate Compact to Arizona. Since my release, I've earned both my bachelor's and my master's degrees in criminal justice, as well as a certification in forensic psychology. I oppose Senate Bill 126 for a variety of reasons, including the impact on Alaska families, the impact on the prisoners themselves, and the eventual impact on Alaska communities. The impact of sending prisoners out of state on Alaska families cannot be understated. First, sending prisoners out of state thousands of miles from their families removes the rehabilitative aspect of family visitation, which the Alaska Appellate Court found significant in Brandon versus Alaska DOC 938 P2D 1029, which was decided in 1997. Second, the family bond is strained by any incarceration, but it can be strained to the point of breaking when the offender is sent out of state, as the cost for most families for visitation would be prohibitive. The impact on the prisoner population has been previously observed when the first mass shipment of prisoners out of state occurred in 1995. Prior to out-of-state placement, the Alaska prison system was not structured as it is now. Prior to the previous out-of-state placement, prisoners would mingle regardless of race or crime. But once in a private prison, the prison population began organizing itself, often in response to influence or pressure from other contracts that were housed with us. The gangs we now have in Alaska prisons are a direct result of the cross-pollination from other contracts and adopting some of their characteristics. In addition, housing, segregation, food, programming, and medical care are all of inferior quality to that which we receive in Alaska. Specifically, the cost of medical care will not be transferred to a private prison. DOC will have to cut a separate check for that, and the cost of medical care for an aging population is one of the biggest line items in DOC's budget. The impact on Alaska communities will be delayed but inevitable. When DOC last sent prisoners out of state, we were gone for almost 20 years. I spent from 1997 to 2013 in private prisons in Arizona and Colorado before being returned. When we came back, we heard about the out-of-state prisoners and how much more difficult we were to manage than those who had not been sent out of state. We were more violent, had gang affiliations, drug addictions, behavioral problems, and were more resistant to authority than those who had never been sent out of state. Then we were released back into the community. For some like myself, we left prison behind us. For many, though, they were apt to get out and return to incarceration, often in conjunction with another charge. They went back to their communities and created more victims because the behavioral issues they developed out of state had not been addressed or resolved prior to their release. Should this committee need proof of this, merely request a report from the Department of Corrections containing the percentage of the prisoner population that was housed out of state, then returned to incarceration after release. I'd venture to guess that that percentage is higher than the standard recidivism rate. Sending offenders out of state to a private prison does not curb the aging prison population that Alaska currently has, and the medical care costs are not subsumed in the yearly contract. There will be a separate fee. While the general cost of care and custody is approximately two-thirds of what it is in Alaska, we do not get the same level of programming, the same level of medical care, nor the same due process for institutional infractions that we do in Alaska. Add to that the strain on the family unit from the offender being sent a minimum of 2,300 miles away, which is the distance from Anchorage to Seattle, with no option of visitation. Phone calls that are exorbitant. At one point, it used to cost us 52 cents a minute to call home and into a much more dangerous environment. Fights between contracts was a fairly common occurrence and would often involve weapons. This would create a more hardened criminal and provide a much greater risk to communities, which should not be an option, in my opinion. Thank you for your time, and I stand ready to answer any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Barger, are there any questions? I did want to say, Mr. Barger, that part of this bill does address the housing of prisoners, that they shall be exclusively apart from prisoners who are not residents of Alaska. I think that that's sort of addresses at least part of your, maybe one of your concerns, though.
I understand that that might be part of the bill, but I also understand that that was our original understanding when we were sent to, when we were sent out of state. And as the facility had open beds, they would fill them with whatever contract became available that had similar programming needs.
Thank you, Mr. Barger. Mr. Barger, when you came back in after 2013, did you go to Goose Creek Correctional Center?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Barger. Are there further questions for the testifier? Okay, hearing and seeing none, is there anybody in the room who'd like to testify on Senate Bill 126? Anybody from the department? They're not jumping up and down. Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony for now. Again, public testimony can be received by the committee, Senate State Affairs, at the email address senatestateaffairs@aklag.gov. That is senatestateaffairs@aklag.gov. Are there any final questions for the sponsor of the bill or his staff? I guess there's no questions. I'll just say, just as a comment, that Goose Creek was being worked on when I started as a legislator. It got finished probably by 2010 or 2011. And then the idea had always been make sure that we get all of our prisoners back in state. I think and the idea was that it was going to be cheaper, and the idea that it was going to be potentially better for families, also better, lower recidivism rates, things like that. Not sure if those all played out as originally discussed. This was, of course, the legislature prior to us ever being there, but it was Senator Green. And I think that, if we looked at the old records about what Goose Creek had promised and what the Department of Corrections had promised, I'm not sure that we would see costs had been driven down or that recidivism rates had dropped or anything of the above. But I think it's definitely worth it. I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. Senator Yunt, did you have any other comments you'd like to make before we set this bill aside and set a deadline for the amendments?
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, I'll just close with this, that those are great testimony, and I'm sympathetic to their concerns. I was once a young child that would travel to see family members as well on a Sunday, and so that's not a great situation for anyone to be in. I wish we weren't in the situation, but here we are. We did pass HB 35 last year, which I was a big supporter of, electronic devices. That will help substantially with retraining inmates. It could help with FaceTiming, loved ones that are on a list that's allowed under set circumstances, right? That was a bill that got a lot of good committee hearings last year on both sides of both bodies. There's a real opportunity there to help lower healthcare costs and different things with telehealth. And we've got, and we'll provide it for the next committee, but the visitation rates for all of our jails and facilities that they got us are very low. It's unfortunate. We all wish they were way higher, but the reality is that they're not. So as the bill moves forward, I hope that, like I said, it'll be handled with compassion. It's a delicate situation. I would never vote for something that was going to send our inmates out of state to be intermingled with inmates from other states. If we can't do this in a way that we keep our Alaskans together, then I don't think we should look at it. And so that was why I put that in section one. So thank you, sir.
Thank you. Senator Yunt, any further questions? All right, hearing and seeing none, we will set Senate Bill 126 aside and establish a time for amendments. I don't know what that time will be, but we'll figure it out. We're going to go ahead and take a brief at ease for the next bill. All right, I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting back to order. We next have Senate Bill 71. Senate Bill 71 is by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the governor. We did hear this bill last year toward the beginning of the year, and we are recognizing the governor wanted us to hear the bills. We are putting all these bills on our agendas, and so we have now with us to present Senate Bill 71, Pretrial Services Supervision Agreements, Dusty Dumont, Director of Pretrial Probation and Parole. We also have Kevin Worley, Director of Administrative Services, that might be able to be here to summarize the legislation in Senate Bill 71. And we also have Rachel Turner, Legislative Liaison to the Department of Corrections.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Worley. I'm the Admin Services Director for the Department of Corrections. I'll give a brief overview of Senate Bill 71. So the purpose of the bill is to clarify statutory authority for the Department of Corrections related to pretrial supervision for municipal-only cases. It doesn't change operations, expand supervision, or mandate billing. The bill does clarify DOC's pretrial supervision authority applying to violations of state law, so it only applies to municipal code violations, and then authorizes the department to obtain agreements with the municipalities for pretrial supervision. It also authorizes adoption of regulations and charging reasonable fees.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Worley or Ms. Dumont? I guess I'll start with the question on the municipal agreements. Since this is only dealing with municipal laws, that would only impact a place like Anchorage, right?
To the chair, it'd be Anchorage and Juneau.
Thank you. Anchorage and Juneau, I heard that. I guess I'm working on other legislation relating to unfunded mandates and things like that, and I'm just curious, this would essentially transfer the financial responsibility to municipalities, it looks like. Is that the case?
To the chair, again, Kevin Worley, Department of Corrections. It would transfer a portion. I don't know that we'd fully be collecting the cost of the pretrial supervision, but there would be some charge that we would have that would, in the terms of the bill, be reasonable.
Thank you, Mr. Worley. Are there other questions at this time? I will go ahead and open up public testimony. I do not have anybody else online for Senate Bill 71. Is there anybody in the room who would like to testify on Senate Bill 71? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. Just a reminder that public testimony is always open. If anybody would like to send testimony, they can do so through email at senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov, and we will make it public to the rest of the committee members, and we will also put it online as soon as staff's able to do that. Are there any other comments on Senate Bill 71 from the administration?
Good.
Really enthusiastic. Okay. Any questions of committee members before we set Senate Bill 71 aside? Okay. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate your ability and your willingness to be here and present for Senate Bill 71. Again, this is a bill from the governor's office. We will set Senate Bill 71 aside at this time. Or is there any other business to come before the Senate State Affairs Committee? I actually do not see any. We will work again closely with the Department of Corrections on potentially bringing back some information that we've asked for that we can talk about in public, specifically about the correctional center, the deaths in correctional centers, just sort of things like that. We also will, I'm sure, talk about the budget because that's a big highlighted item. At $202 an inmate, I remember when it was $110 an inmate, that's the total amount of money that was spent divided by the total number of inmates. So it's gone markedly up. And, you know, we're having this discussion right now about school boards are in town. School boards are talking about the per pupil allocation and how much they get at $30,000+. And so when you look at the cost of how much it takes to teach a child versus how much it takes to incarcerate a person, it's, you know, I know it's apples to oranges, but it is nearly twice as much, if not more. And that's an expense we just should not have if we can avoid it. Thank you for letting me be on my soapbox. Are there any other questions or comments of the committee? Okay, on announcements, on Thursday we will meet here, February 12th, where we will hear Senate Bill 126, Correctional Facilities and Placement. We will also, I'm going to have to schedule an amendment deadline for Senate Bill 126. If people can bring amendments to us by Wednesday, That would be great. If not, we will try to work with the committee members. But I think there's some definite people who brought up some comments that should be listened to. So we'll try to hear Senate Bill 126 at that point in time. We will also have a first hearing on Senate Bill 203, Prohibited Weapons, Firearms Conversion Devices. And we will hear bills previously heard or scheduled. If there's nothing else before coming before the committee, the meeting is adjourned. The time is now 4:03.